I'm delighted to be joined now by Pauline Hart. Pauline is an RNIB connector who recently organised a walk and talk group in her local area to help blind and partially sighted people get together and, yeah, just get healthy, Pauline, I suppose.
Yeah, I started the group because I love walking and I like getting out in the fresh air. I am a member of a rambling group, but we only walk once a month. So I really wanted to start up just a small group within my local community once a week, just get a wee bit of exercise, bit of fresh air, a good wee chat, and then we go for a wee coffee afterwards.
And this is with RNIB?
Yes, it's with RNIB Connect.
What did they do to help?
Well, the facilitator, Susan Byrne, she got in touch with me because she knew I was interested in doing something within the community. And Susan and I sat and made out a poster. And, you know, she printed out the posters for me, just giving information about the walking group and where to go and how to get transport. And then I just physically went round different various places in East Kilbride, the local library, doctor surgeries, places like that, and just put my poster up just to get some interest from other people, hopefully.
And have you had much interest so far?
Well, I've got 9 members altogether just now, and we only just started at the beginning of March, so I'm delighted with that.
Is that male and female?
Male and female, yes, and in different age groups as well. Maybe from the age of late 40s to somebody in their late 80s is actually in the group as well. So a mixture of age groups. And we have 5 guide dogs that come along with us as well.
And are they well behaved?
Very well behaved. And as you know, we go into the cafe next to the loch where we do our walk. And they've now reserved 2 tables for us now. So we are regular visitors to there, and they're quite happy, obviously.
And which area is that, Pauline?
It's in East Kilbride, and we meet on a Monday morning at 10:30, and it's the Stuartfield Loch Heritage Park. Walk round the loch twice. And
how long does that take you?
Well, we're not very fast because we're blathering as we're going along, so maybe about an hour it takes us to go round twice, and then we all go in for coffee.
Now, you mentioned you're a member of a Ramblers group already, so you're obviously used to being out walking.
Yes.
And all the benefits that come with that.
Yes.
What sort of feedback have you had from the others that have started this group?
They all love it because, you know, being visually impaired, getting out and about is such a great thing. And, you know, the isolation with a lot of visually impaired people, and I experienced that myself for the first 4 years of losing my sight.
Mm.
And the benefits of, you know, going out and walking and talking with people in the same predicament as yourself is very helpful, you know, because you can get ideas from one another, you know, or share experiences with one another, you know, and give hints and tips about various things in your life, you know.
Of course, and the fact that it's not in, like, an office-type setting.
Yes.
You're out with the fresh air.
Yeah,
might
you're out the fresh
people.
Air, yeah, and you're enjoying the fresh air.
And the health benefits as
well. Yeah,
well,
the health, mentally and physically, you know, I feel, you know, just being able to get out and about and walk about. And the reason I chose this location for the walking is it's pathed all the way around and there's no obstacles for anybody. So it's an easy path.
Now, in terms of your own sight loss, Pauline, you're diagnosed as being diabetic as a teenager, I believe.
Yes, just turned 15, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. But you were telling me that your sight loss didn't kick in till almost 20 years later.
Before 36, I had needed reading glasses, but that was it. And then, unfortunately, my eyesight deteriorated quite rapidly. But I also, at the time, was suffering from high blood pressure. So it was a combination of the two that caused my sight to, you know, deteriorate quite rapidly.
And at this point, I take it you were working as a cardiac nurse?
I was, yes, in Glasgow Royal Infirmary, yes.
Had you been doing that since you left school?
Basically, yes, I was an auxiliary nurse at Phillips Hill Hospital for about a year, and then went on to do my training as a nurse in the Royal Infirmary, where I stayed and worked for 20 years nearly, yeah.
So this must have been devastating.
Absolutely.
The age of 36, yeah. You're established in your career.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that?
Not very well initially. I had to give up my driving as well. My job definitely had to go. And also, at that particular time, my daughter was just starting high school, So there was a lot going on, and I mean, I really thought after some laser treatment I would be all right, but unfortunately that wasn't the case.
So when did you actually have to give up your job as a nurse, Pauline?
My sight started deteriorating in October, and by the July of the next year is when I retired.
And was it diabetic retinopathy that you had?
I have diabetic retinopathy and now developed glaucoma in my left eye, and I've got a cataract in the left eye as well.
So your eyesight could get worse again, or it
yes,
will?
Yes, it could, yes.
Okay. What were the first few years like, Pauline? I guess they must have been the most challenging for you.
I had just turned 36, prime of my life, as they say. So, no, I didn't take it very well at all. Really went into a big depression. Hated going out of the house, even with people. I wouldn't go out myself initially. So really, 4 years was quite a bit of a haze to me now when you think about it. But eventually, you know, I thought I can't live like this. Mm-hmm. So I just applied for a guide dog, which was the turning point in my life. Once I qualified with the guide dog, I thought I really need to get my brain into action again, because I felt as if, you know, after a high dependent job, big responsibility as well, to do nothing was very hard for me. So then I realised I need to get my brain working again after getting a guide dog. So the first thing I did was I just went to night school and done a conversational Spanish course. And through that, I got to meet somebody from South Lanarkshire College who was a support worker, who basically took me under her wing and got me starting down at the college, just learning basic computing skills, which I enjoyed, and done that on and off for about a year, and then went on to do an HNC in social care at South Lanarkshire College.
Okay.
Which was a great thing for me, because really had to get my brain working for that. And through that, I had to get a work placement. And that's where Visibility came into being. I had heard about Visibility. And
this is the charity Visibility?
Yes, charity Visibility. And I just applied there to become a volunteer to see if I could do anything. And through that, they gave me a work placement as supporting people in the community as part of my HNC. So after I had qualified and done my HNC, I then became a volunteer, you know, a couple of days a week with Visibility. But going back to the college, the HNC was a great experience. I'd done it over 2 years part-time, and I was really proud of myself, because I was top of my year and got an Outstanding Achievement Award. So all these things kind of boosted my confidence. And then, as I say, going back to Visibility and becoming a volunteer within, my roles within the organisation grew, and my last role with them was a lead volunteer, and I provided support and supervision to all our volunteers within the organisation. And again, only done that part-time, you know, but I loved doing that.
And what about your family? Have they been a great support?
Oh, yes, of course, yes. My daughter, initially when this happened to me, I don't think my daughter obviously didn't understand. She was so young herself. And it was a big blow to all of the family. But no, without them, I wouldn't be where I am today. Sure. As well. Yeah.
Now, I normally ask guests about mobility, whether they use a cane or a guide dog, but we actually have your guide dog in the studio with us just now, don't
yes,
we?
Yes.
Layla. She's absolutely gorgeous.
Yes.
So you were saying guide dogs have made a big difference to your
yes,
life as well.
Yes, definitely, yeah. Independence-wise, yeah, absolutely. Because initially when I had to train with the long cane, it just really made me upset every time I had to take it out. But through years, obviously, I get used to that. But guide dogs have just opened my life completely.
Brilliant companions.
Yeah.
Now, we've got your guide dog Layla with us today, mm-hmm. but your first guide dog was Yancey.
Yes.
And you actually had a bit of discrimination happen to you in your local town centre when you were with Yancey.
That's right, yes. Not long after I was qualified with my dog, went into a local shop, and I was told to leave the shop, and I explained to the person that it was a guide dog, and, you know, I needed a guide dog. And they said, no, as far as we can see, you can see fine, and you don't need a guide dog, and just get out the shop. And that was what they told me. I was enraged and very upset, I must admit, because I was a new guide dog owner, and I thought, is this going to happen to me all the time? So I just went down the road and actually I phoned the police because to me it was direct discrimination. But they said, no, it's a civil matter. So I didn't get any help from them. So I just phoned my local newspaper to give them my story. And really it was to raise awareness and, you know, to name and shame the people that done it to me as well.
Have things improved, Pauline? Do you think guide dog owners are still facing discrimination?
I think there is a big improvement, you know, because we're now, guide dogs now provide you with what they call a passport. So that, you know, if anybody does challenge you, you've got that passport to show them, you know, this is against the law for you to do this to me. So
how did you first get involved with RNIB?
First get involved with RNIB a way back a good few years ago, because through visibility, I went along to the Looking Forward programme and done a talk just basically about my story about my losing my sight. And through that, they asked me to be part of their RNIB Looking Forward programme, which I did for a couple of years with RNIB.
Okay.
Went to the sessions to talk to people that have just been told they're losing their sight and how I've coped and what I've done. So.
If anyone's listening, Pauline, that's maybe thinking about becoming a connector themselves or they're maybe going through sight loss,
yes.
What advice would you give to them?
Connect's all about, you know, what would you like to happen within your own community? And, you know, have you got any ideas about what you would like to do? And then you would get in touch with the RNIB Connect facilitator, who's Susan Byrne, and she would come out and see you and discuss with you what you'd like to do. The walking group, you know, is good, but I'm looking to maybe look at other locations for the group as well in the future. And, you know, if other similar groups start up in areas not too far from where we live, maybe, you know, tap into joining in them on an occasion just to do other walks with other people.
So what does the future hold for you, Pauline?
Well, all these things that I've been doing is all voluntary work, you know. My condition is such that, you know, I could wake up tomorrow morning and have a big black blob in front of the only one eye that I can see out of. So that kind of stopped me from maybe, you know, looking into employment. But volunteering, I get a lot out of because, you know, I do have quite a few experiences and skills to offer. And I get so much out of volunteering because I'm hopefully making a difference in helping other people with sight loss. And, you know, the opportunities that it's came along and the things that they've asked me to do.
Could you give us a few examples?
Well, for example, today I was on the interview panel for a job within RNIB. So even being asked to participate in things like that is...
Is that quite interesting?
Well, I find it very interesting, you know.
So you're actually helping shape the decision-making within the charity if you get involved as a connector?
Yes, And, you know, it's all about listening to people with sight loss. I thoroughly enjoy what I'm doing, you know.
If anyone would like to get involved in your walking groups, Pauline, how can they do so?
Well, they can contact me direct at pauline.hart, H-A-R-T, 2@hotmail.co.uk.
Pauline Hart, RNIB Connector, it's been a pleasure talking to you and good luck for the future.
Thank you very much.
And if you would like to find out more information about how you can volunteer with RNIB Connect, call 0303 1234 555. Or you can email connect@rnib.org.uk to find out what's happening in your own area.